From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Abb.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Thursday, May 21st. Today on the podcast, we'll hear about one of the Vermonters who died with the coronavirus. But first, here are today's headlines.
For the past 2 months, Governor Phil Scott has spent most of his time in the public eye telling people about things that have had to stop or drastically change for the sake of public health. Schools, bars, restaurants, parks, childcare, just about everything.
That's true, but yesterday at his latest marathon press conference, Scott had a slightly happier job. He detailed how he wants to distribute $400 million across all sectors of the economy to help keep businesses and people afloat.
Right, and it's a big proposal. Here's how some of the money would be spent. A total of $250 million in direct grants and loans to businesses.
And $40 million to dairy farmers.
$10 million to dairy processors like cheese and yogurt makers.
And $5 million to the tourism sector.
$8 million to house families who are experiencing homelessness.
And $42 million in emergency rental assistance to prevent evictions.
Those are just some of the details. All the money would come from Vermont's $1.25 billion cut of the federal stimulus package. Scott's proposal now goes to the Democratic-controlled legislature, where its fate is, of course, uncertain. Scott said he hoped that lawmakers could sign off on it in 1 week, but he acknowledged that that could be too ambitious a timeline.
And the health department reported no new cases of COVID-19 yesterday, so the total in Vermont is still 944. Over 25,000 tests have been administered, and 3 people are currently hospitalized. 54 people have died. And now we're going to hear about one of them. Coraline Westcott lived at Birchwood Terrace, a nursing home in Burlington that had an outbreak of the virus.
Coraline was a fiercely independent woman who loved gardening, baking, and line dancing. She could be spontaneous, but also grounded in her community, and she was active in the VFW and American Legion. And every year she went to the Champlain Valley Fair. Reporter Liam Elder Connors talked with Coraline's daughter to learn more about her life.
Robin Westcott stands in Battery Park in Burlington. She's looking at Beansies, a retrofitted yellow school bus where hot dogs and hamburgers are under $3 and french fries come by the quart. Robin says her mom started bringing her here when she was a baby.
So yeah, we would come here and pull up and sit and have dinner. And
Robin and her mother Coraline Westcott became regulars.
Michigan, she did a Michigan now and then. But she liked her fries and creamies. It was all about the creamy. Can I get a creamy after?
Coraline died April 21st after contracting the coronavirus at Birchwood Terrace in Burlington. She was 91. I first met Robin in early April while I was reporting on the outbreak at Birchwood. At the time, Robin hadn't seen her mom in person in a month. Birchwood, like all long-term care facilities, had stopped allowing visitors when the pandemic struck. Coraline had dementia, and Robin was worried her mom would die of COVID-19.
What else did I bring? I just brought some old family photos.
Robin rummages through two bags bursting with photos and memories. She pulls out the soundtrack to Pretty Woman, her mom's favorite movie, a photo of her mother as a young girl, and then she unfolds a large green sweatshirt.
I didn't even know there were George Strait sweatshirts.
Emblazoned on it are the words, "All I want for Christmas is George Strait." Coraline, as it turns out, was a massive fan of the country singer.
I took her to a George Strait concert, and she was ecstatic, and then she calls me up at work, and she goes, "Robin," she says, "WOKO is giving away tickets to George Strait. Can we go again? Will you try and call in and win the tickets?" And it's like, okay. I mean, she loved George Strait. Loved him.
Coraline was born in Burlington and raised in Essex. For most of her life, she stayed around those towns. She loved gardening, line dancing, and cooking, especially baking pies.
For, like, holidays, everybody would get their favorite pie.
Robin says her mother had 5 other children, though she wasn't in close contact with them. Coraline's third husband, Robin's adopted father, died 28 years ago. That's when Robin moved into an apartment above her mom's house. Coraline would go out dancing with Robin and her friends. Sometimes they'd go hunting for deals at garage sales. The pair bought a camper, and for 8 years were seasonals at a campground in Georgia, Vermont. And they'd take spontaneous road trips, like the time they drove to St. Johnsbury and Reading in 1 day and came back with a dog and a cat.
I mean, my mother was my best friend.
About 10 years ago, Robin became her mom's full-time caregiver as Coraline developed dementia. In 2017, Coraline moved to Birchwood Terrace. Robin says she'd visit and take her mom on trips, even mundane chores like going to the bank.
And if I would tell her that I was coming to pick her up on Thursday, she'd be dressed and in that lobby at 8 a.m. waiting for me to show up. You know, I could tell her 1 o'clock, but that didn't mean anything. I was coming to pick her up.
But as Corlin's dementia grew worse, she couldn't leave Birchwood. And then when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, Birchwood stopped allowing visitors. Then, a few weeks ago, Robin got a call from the nursing home. Her mom had developed COVID-19 symptoms. Robin rushed over to Birchwood, where she was outfitted in the full range of personal protective gear and allowed in. She visited 4 times over the course of her mother's last days. During one visit, she pulled out her phone and FaceTimed Corlin's grandkids so they could say goodbye. Robin says it was after that visit that the nursing home called and said her mom's condition had gotten worse.
So I basically got right out of here and headed over and talked to her and basically held her hand, stroked her head and her hair.
Robin says she laid down in the bed and played her mom's favorite songs, starting with Pretty Woman, then some George Strait, and finally, during I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston, Corlin died. Robin says her family is planning a celebration of life for Corlin once gatherings are allowed. She says they're going to get a country band for the event, and they'll have to play Corlin's favorite song, Pretty Woman. For VPR News, I'm Liam Elder Connors.
And now we'll look at the Eye on the Sky forecast for today. It'll be another nice and sunny day with highs in the mid to upper 70s. And that's the kind of weather that's perfect for graduation ceremonies. But those, of course, are not happening as planned right now. But the Agency of Education said yesterday that it's trying to say yes to a bunch of creative proposals from school districts still hoping to have graduation. Some schools want to hold ceremonies at drive-in movie theaters or even in the form of a parade if the state says they meet social distancing guidelines.
And speaking of graduations, we have some exciting news for Frequency listeners. As of yesterday, Anna is officially a college graduate. Believe it or not, she has been working for VPR and making this podcast for the past couple months while also finishing her undergrad degree from New York University at the same time. So, Anna, on behalf of everyone here at VPR, congratulations and thank you for all of your hard work these last few months as you've finished school. We really look forward to having you here at VPR now full time without any schoolwork going on. And thank you so much for all your work.
Thanks, Henry. Thanks, Mark, for writing that. I don't know. I feel really lucky to have a job, also to have this job, which is kind of cool. Like, I got to come back to Vermont and be with people that I was an intern with before, and I like all of you guys a lot. So, I don't know.
Well, we are super happy to have you on board. That's great.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency, and we want to hear from you. If you have feedback on the show or want to tell us what's going on, you can email us at thefrequency@vpr.org. You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at Anna S. Van Dyne.
And I'm at The Henry Epp. We had reporting today from Liam Elder Connors, John Dillon, and Howard Weiss Tisman. Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and our executive producer is Mark Davis. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.